Thanks for joining us online at New Life Church. We're so excited for the message that we'd love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life, our community, and the world. If you have a story to share, email us at info@newlife4kokomo.org. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online at newlife4kokomo.org or on the New Life Church app. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear from the Word of God.
Today at Psalm 139 is the key verse that we're going to start in. This month we've been talking about the plan. It's been the title of this series we've been in, and we have been introducing, kind of giving you here in the main morning services, an overview of the growth track that we kicked off earlier this month. And in the growth track, there's four steps that take place over four Sundays. And it's just going to rotate every month. You can jump in at any time. You can take them in any order. But step one is all about coming to know God. Step two is about finding freedom. Step three is discovering your purpose. And step four is making a difference. And today I want to focus on those last two. We want to help you understand that God's got a destiny for you. God's got a plan for your life. Every one of you, we all know that there is a reason for our existence. What does God want us to do? That's what steps three and four are all about. And, you know, there are three reference points for God's plan for your life. One is that He made you. He gave you the personality that you have. Look at Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Listen, that applies to you. Those verses apply to every single person. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You need to thank God for how He made you, His design for you, His design, the way He created you, the way He made you. It's a big part of His purpose for your life. And then He gifts you. God gives us gifts. He gives us spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, however, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Because He is generous, He's given every one of us gifts. So you've got gifts that have been given you by God. And then He places you. He gives you opportunities. God gives you opportunities throughout your life. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. Now, as people walk through this growth track with us on step three, we're going to give everyone a personality assessment. We're going to find out, are you extroverted or are you introverted? Are you a task-oriented person or are you a people-oriented person? Because, you see, knowing these things will help you to know how God has wired you. God's the one who has given you the personality you have, and then it will help you to be open to the gifts that He has given you and where and how you can be used in the gifts He's given you. Just like real life change happens in the context of relationships through our small groups, your greatest fulfillment in life is going to come when you discover what your purpose is. So I'm challenging everybody to find out, commit yourself to find out how God has wired you. Find out how God has gifted you and begin to use those gifts to bring other people to know God and find freedom and discover their purpose so that they can make a difference, and then it's just going to be multiplied. Now, if I said this morning, take this for example. If I said this morning, after this service, We're going to have a meeting tomorrow, and so if anybody could stick around, we'd like some folks to help us stack up the chairs and clear the room out and get ready for tomorrow. Some of you are going to immediately start barking out orders to other people. You're going to take charge. If you don't know what to do, you're going to make it up as you go along. But you're going to take charge of this situation right here. It's your gift, and it's your favor to the rest of us to just take charge. That's okay. That's the way some of us are wired. See what I said? Some of us, the way some of us are wired. But somebody else in that situation, somebody else is going to be frustrated. Because all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of commotion and you're looking for somebody to tell you when, where, and how to get the job done because you need clear directions. You're not taking over. You need somebody else to tell you what to do. And then somebody else has already developed a chart. As soon as I made the announcement, you started developing a chart. You know how many number of chairs need to be on each stack. And if somebody puts 9 chairs on the stack, you're, no, take one of those off. There's only 8 chairs on each stack. Because that's the way you're wired. And you see, if you know how you're wired and you know how the people working with you are wired, and even better yet, if you know how the people living with you are wired, helps you get along a little bit better because you might be able to understand. They're not just weird. They're not just different. They're not just irritable. They're wired with a different kind of personality. It's not an exact science, but it's a tool to help us discover a little bit more about our personality. But there's more than just the personality that God's given us. And it's a fact, folks. I mean, you know it. Babies are shaped to some extent by their environment, but they also come out on day one with a certain kind of personality. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's a God-given personality there. But beyond the personality, there's spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, couple of verses from that passage. You should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. Seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Now let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit himself is God's primary gift. God, the Holy Spirit, he gives part of himself to us. And we receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. When you put your faith in Jesus, you begin to follow Jesus. The Bible says the Holy Spirit merges with our spirit so that we know that we are the children of God. So every follower of Christ, every person that puts their faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, we receive the Holy Spirit, and through that, we receive strength and wisdom to trust Christ and to follow him. God then gives gifts to every person to enable them to both serve him and serve others. Now, beyond that moment where we put our faith and our trust in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into our life, many believers also experience what the Bible refers to as a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's called baptism because we have the picture of water baptism where people are completely and totally immersed in water. This is what happens to many believers. After they've already begun to follow the Lord, they experience a baptism in the Holy Spirit, an immersion in the Holy Spirit. And it's accompanied by beginning to pray and praise and worship God in a language that we previously didn't learn, a language that we previously didn't know. And that is, I'm telling you, it is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous blessing. You need to be not only knowing that when you follow the Lord, you receive the Holy Spirit, but to every follower of Jesus, this baptism, this immersion, this saturation in the presence of the Holy Spirit is available for every believer. And then God's Spirit works in us. God's Spirit then begins to work in us to produce fruit. Different kinds of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. John 15 tells us that we produce fruit that is actually other believers coming into the kingdom of God as well. And we steward these gifts. In other words, we find out what our gifts are so that we can take care of them. So that we can manage them. So that we can learn how to be more skilled in using them for the Lord and displaying his fruit. And using his gifts results in greater works being done through us in order to reach others. It begins with Jesus Christ becoming Lord of our lives. So let me say this very clearly. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of our lives, then we can't really use these gifts as he's intended. You see, everybody has spiritual gifts, even those who have not yet surrendered their lives to the Lord. God's already given them gifts. But they can't fully use those gifts and be blessed and bless others in those gifts until they surrender their lives to the Lord. So if you have not yet surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. You need to do that right away so that you can begin to see His gifts making a difference in your life and in the lives of other people. If you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to apply yourself to learning about spiritual gifts, finding out what gifts God has given you and how you can use those to make a difference in other people's lives. Now, let me be clear. We talked about personality and we talk about spiritual gifts. They're different things. Spiritual gifts are not personality traits. They're two different things. And as people walk through this new growth track with us, we help people understand the difference. We help people understand both of them. Now, spiritual gifts are also not titles. Spiritual gifts are not positions. Although, when you really begin to use your gift in the way God designed you to use it, it may lead to things like titles and positions. But the spiritual gifts are not intended to promote us. Spiritual gifts are not about us. While we need to find out what gifts we have and develop them so that we can use them for the Lord, any gift God has given us is not about us. It's not about lifting us up and honoring us and promoting us. God gives these gifts to us so that we can use them for Him and point people to Jesus. There are a myriad of spiritual gifts listed in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm telling you, the end result of every one of them is to help other people who don't know God to come closer to knowing God. Every one of them. So if you want to be involved in that, and if you've come to know the Lord, you should, then you need to ask the Lord to grow you in your spiritual gifts. Ask the Lord to help spiritual gifts to develop in your life. Ask the Lord to give you whatever He has for you. I'm serious, in prayer. Lord, just that ought to be part of your prayer life. Lord, just give me what you want me to have. Lord, I am open to any gift. I'm open to every gift. I've known some people through the years. It's like, well, you know, I've read about these gifts and I've read about those gifts and I'd really like to have those. But, you know, those, I'm not really too interested in those gifts. Are you kidding me? You're gonna tell God that He's got a gift for you and you're not really interested in it? Don't tell me that, please. Don't tell. Talk to God about that and see what the reaction is. I'm sorry, God, I'm going to be selective here. I'm going to let you know which gifts I would like you to give me. No, be open. Lord, I'll take whatever you got for me. I'll take whatever you want to give me. My life is open to you, Lord. You may be surprised. You may be already operating in a spiritual gift and you don't even know it. Now, I know there are some people, we've got people that are part of New Life Church that's from just about every kind of church background you can imagine, just about every kind of religious background you can imagine, and some from no religious background or church background whatsoever. And so some of you have been taught through the years and maybe came to an understanding through the years that there are no spiritual gifts left today. There are people who believe that. They believe the spiritual gifts somewhere along the way died out and that spiritual gifts don't happen anymore and we're just kind of living our lives, muddling through on our own strength and energy, doing the best we can until Jesus Christ comes back. I got to tell you, I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. Don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says the spiritual gifts are going to stop while we are here on this earth serving the Lord. There are also other people who have been in church services where if somebody is not used in a spiritual gift or at least two spiritual gifts in every single service, well, then obviously the spiritual gifts aren't operating in the church because they're only focused on a couple and they're not seeing them happen publicly. Neither one of those views are correct. Both of those views are extremes and they're not biblical. There are so many gifts. The vast majority of spiritual gifts God gives us, they are not verbal. They are not seen publicly. Most of them will not be demonstrated in a large public gathering as we have here. But if God has given you a spiritual gift, you can use it during the week. You can use it every day. You can use it anytime. And you can use it in a way that changes people's lives. And they don't even know that it's a spiritual gift that's operating through you to bless them. They don't know it. You don't have to say to somebody, listen, I've got a prophetic word for you. You tell somebody that, Some people are going to go, please, I'm ready. I'm open. Please, give me a prophetic word. There are other people that are going to go, what in the world are you talking about? And there are other people that are going to shut down immediately because it's like, I don't know about this. And before their mind even begins to wrap around what you said about prophetic word, you're already done giving it to them. They didn't even. So you know what? If you got a prophetic word for somebody, just, hey, Joe, can I tell you something? Boom. No prelude, no preface, no big spooky weird thing. God gives you something to share with somebody, share it with somebody. And then they can pray, they can seek the Lord, and if somebody comes to you and they give you some word of advice, whether they say it's a prophetic word or think it's, and they share something with you, listen, take it to the Lord. Take it to other spiritually mature people. Say, what do you think about this? Because here's the deal, we're all human and we all make mistakes. We make mistakes in terms of thinking what gifts we have. We make mistakes in terms of what gifts we're receiving or not. We make mistakes in how we use those spiritual gifts because we're human. And so when you're dealing in this area, be humble. Be submissive to the Lord. Be submissive to other spiritual leaders. But God can use you in the gifts that He has given you anywhere, anytime, any place, in a way that'll change other people's lives, draw people to Him, and in a way, and they're not even realizing that spiritual gifts are operating through you to do that. I don't know about you, but I just think that's awesome. Because it's not about us. Actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said that we are to be very careful about how we use our gifts, especially in public meetings where unbelievers, where people who are not yet following God are present, so that they won't be pushed away from the church. Because a lot of people have misunderstood this. Some gifts are clearly to be used among believers. Others are given so that we can bring people to Christ. I'm going to be teaching a little bit more about this fall, but we encourage all of the gifts. There's not a gift in Scripture that cannot be used today, but we believe in using them in the time and place and manner that will draw people to Christ. Keep in mind, it's not about us. No gift that we use should draw people's attention to us. No gift that we use from God will cause anybody to run away from Christ. We encourage you, if you've got a word that you feel needs to be shared with the entire church family, we want that to be shared if it's from the Lord. So bring it to us, bring it to one of our leaders so that it can be tested, then shared with everyone, and a word of confirmation can be given with that, and it can be presented in a way in which people will not be caused to want to run screaming out of the doors. And the gift can be used in a way that'll draw people to Christ instead of pushing people away from Christ. And you can listen, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. One who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, comforts them. That's the test of any gift. I've known people who feel like God's given them words from the Lord for the church family, and every word they say is just smack down. Beat up. You're awful. You're terrible. You're a bunch of sinners. You just need to get your lives straightened out. Well, there are times we need to get our lives straightened out. But I'm telling you, if somebody thinks that it's their God-given gift to verbally abuse the church, that's not from the Spirit of God. It's not from the Spirit of God. It strengthens. It encourages. It comforts. That's the biblical test. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39 and 40. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Anything we do that distracts people from coming to Christ is not in the plan of God. It's not in the plan of the Holy Spirit, because it goes against what Jesus Christ died on the cross for. Now, if we don't serve in quality, in every gift, in things like clean buildings, great setup so that the rooms are set up when people walk in the doors, well-maintained building and grounds, high-quality music, video, tech presentations, great coffee. Listen, everything we do should be done for the honor and glory of God. There's not one single solitary thing that we should do as followers of Jesus Christ where we say, I think that's good enough for today. Are we not supposed to serve others as we serve Christ? if we're serving others as we serve Christ, how many of you would be personally serving Christ, not doing your very best, not striving for your very best, and saying to Jesus, I think that's good enough for today. I don't think that's the attitude we ought to have if we're doing it for the glory of God. But it sometimes that happens because we're trying to operate in gifts that aren't ours. We don't understand what our gifts are. But if you're operating in your gift, you know what your gift is, you're going to be good at it. You're going to enjoy working at it to make it better, because the goal in using it is to bring other people to Jesus. That's the bottom line goal of all of this. Now listen, I'll say it again. We're not going to be perfect. We are going to be imperfect. You don't know how many years it's taken me to be able to say that. I'm serious, man. I've been bound by the legalism, perfectionism demon for so long. But listen, we are not going to be perfect, but we want to continue to know what our gifts are and work at using them to the best of our ability, so that we can know the joy of that gift playing a part in helping other people come to know God in Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. If we're trying to serve in the wrong gift, we're not going to enjoy it, we won't be good at it, and ultimately it's going to distract other people from following Christ. Once we help you discover your personality, the way God has wired you, and your spiritual gifts, we want to help you then find a place where you can begin to serve and love what you're doing because it matches the gift that God has given you. You see, we've got opportunities for everyone to serve right now. We've got opportunities for everyone to serve right now. There are ministries that we would like to start that we have not yet started, because we just haven't found the gifted people to step up and move into that role. There are some ministries where we certainly need more gifted people like you. Some of the ministries that we have a fixed and regular schedule. Some of them have a very, very flexible schedule. So we work with folks and their schedules. You see, this is my gift. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work. That's the whole reason why I've been sharing this series of messages this month called The Plan, because this is my commission from the Lord. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. My ministry gift is to help you discover your gift and lead you in serving in that gift, so that you can be fulfilled and so that you can be bringing other people to Christ. When you're a part of one of our ministry dream teams, you're going to make a difference, because you're going to begin to connect with new people. You see, the friendliness is what connects a lot of people here. It may be what connected you. We've heard from so many people when they've come in, they've said, man, this church, people were so friendly and reached out to me. Now you can be a part of connecting others, regardless of what team, regardless of what ministry you end up being a part on. Our common goal, every ministry, every team, every gift, the end result is to introduce people to a new life in Christ. We want people to live out a full life in Christ. That's why we do everything that we do. That's why we have what we call an admin team. They come in during the week and they're doing all kinds of office work, helping us with that kind of stuff and getting that kind of stuff done. Ultimately, the reason they're doing it is so that people can come to know Jesus Christ. The communion team, the people that prepare communion before we have it, they're behind the scenes making sure that everything's ready when you come in so that you can have an intimate time with the Lord, and during that time we can point people to Jesus Christ. Our outreach teams at Elwood Haines and our Neighborhood of Hope, it's about bringing people to Jesus. Our facilities teams, the maintenance, we like to have lights on. We like to have air conditioning in the summer. We like to have heat in the winter. How many like that? Because when it doesn't happen, especially when the heaters go out in the gymnasium, I hear about it. I do. In between the 9:30 and 11 services, I'm out greeting people. It's like, Pastor, the heat's not working and the kids are cold in the gymnasium. Okay, I'll put on my coveralls right now and I'll go back there and see what I can do to fix the heater. Guess what? Heater ain't going to be fixed if it's up to me. Because I ain't got that gift. But people have those gifts. Why? Why? So that it can be comfortable. Why? So that people will not be distracted. So that parents won't worry about their kids huddling, freezing back in a cold room somewhere. So that when they come in, they can be undistracted in hearing the message and being drawn to Jesus Christ. See, every single detail. Every ministry, every gift comes back to that. Our hospitality teams, our growth track team, our New Life Kids team, our student ministries team, our worship team, even our cafe team, the ones that check in the kids. What we want to start is something called a legacy team. What's that, Pastor? Come to the growth track and find out. We need a parking lot team, a prayer team, tech team, setup teams, small group leaders, deacons, prayer, pastoral care team, our Upward team. Upward's getting ready to start again. Boy, people are already getting excited about that. But every single one of these gifts, ministries, to bring people to Jesus. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. Nothing is a task. Nothing we do around here is a task. Nothing we do around here is a job. Nothing we do around here is a duty. If you look at what you are doing in the church as a task or a job or a duty, I can probably tell you you're serving outside of your gift. They're ministries. Everything is ministry. Listen, do you believe people matter to God? Isn't that why Jesus came? Isn't that why he was bloodied on the cross? People matter to God, and so they matter to us. People in this community, people who are nearby right now, people in your family, people among your friends, people that you work with, people you go to school with who don't know God. They matter to God, and so they have to matter to us. So we want to look out for every person who comes through our doors every week. Let me ask you, if we compared what we did, say, to the hotel business, for example, should we be a 2-star or a 5-star? Let me ask you this question. If somebody were to give you the option of going on a vacation for 2 weeks and either staying in a Motel 6, no offense if you're employed by Motel 6, or staying in the best 5-star hotel, the best reviews, the best service, the best everything in the state, which one would you choose? Motel 6 or the 5-star hotel? Most of us, if not all of us, we'd go, man, send me to the place where, you know, you got little towels shaped like duckies on the bed every day. Because, man, those are really, really cool, you know. Seriously, you know, and the ones that have chocolate on the bed every night, that's the place to go. I don't know, I don't think Motel 6 puts duckies and chocolate on your bed. It's not about being better than anybody else. It's about people, when they walk in the door, feeling like they thought about me already. Get that? They walk in for the first time, a little bit afraid, a little bit nervous because they don't know anybody. Maybe they haven't been in church in years, and they're just scared, and they're wondering what it's going to be like. So a lot of times they come in 10 minutes late, and they want to get out as soon as it's over. If they can walk in the doors, and there's a sense, they've already thought about me. Wow. Opens their heart, begins to break down the hardness, melt the fears, and begin to draw them to Jesus. That's the attitude every ministry team and gift should have. Romans 15:7, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given glory. Another thing you need to do when you begin to serve on a team, build relationships with the other people on that team. You're not serving just in isolation. You might be a greeter. Develop people. Develop relationships with other people on that team. You extend yourself. You extend your hand. You extend your heart. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't say, you know, the people on that team that I serve on, they're not very friendly. What are you doing to break the ice and make friends? Real life change happens and real leaders are developed when we take a step towards intentional relationships. Life change for us, life change for others, happens in the context of our relationships with one another. Every team, I'm telling you, every team that we have serving here has a leader with that desire. Connect with the leader of a team. Meet them for breakfast. Meet them for lunch. Meet them for coffee. Meet them for ice cream. Forget about breakfast and lunch. Just go straight for the ice cream. Develop relationships. See, I'm lactose intolerant. Once a month. Ice cream, if you're lactose intolerant, what? I know, it'd probably tear you just all to pieces. What'd you say? My daughter shared coconut milk ice cream. Try that. That's she said. It's expensive, but it's good. Once a month. I'm talking about building relationships with people. Building relationships with people that you're serving in ministry with. It will change your life, and your friendship will change their life as well. Everyone has something to gain. Everyone has something to give, and it's wonderful when we make a difference with other people. If you're on social media, follow one another on Twitter. Follow one another on Instagram. Friend one another on Facebook. Be a part of each other's lives. It's a wonderful way to keep in touch when we're so busy. Work hard to remember each other's names. If every once in a while you say, "Yeah, Pastor doesn't look me in the eye," it's because I'm looking at your name tag. And I don't know about you, I don't think I'm the only person like this. I can look at somebody that I've known for 6 years or more, but I've got so many things on my mind at that moment when I'm talking about them. We're talking, we're discussing, I'm smiling, we're talking about their week, we're talking about their day, and in the back of my head I'm going, George, no, Fred, no, Tim, no, Jim, no. Has that ever happened to you, or am I the only one? I'm like, I know who you are, but it's just not clicking here. I don't know. I cheat. That's why we got the tags. Wear your tags. Let people cheat. Then try to remember. Work at it. It's worth it. And if you can't remember the guy's name, just say Jim, because half the people in this room are named Jim anyway. But have you ever been impressed when somebody remembers, and you know what, if it's not Jim, you go, oh, by the way, hey, Jim, hey, yeah, Jim, yeah. I'm trying to help you here. But have you been impressed when somebody remembers your name? It'll be the same way when you remember theirs. Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. We are partnered with Christ. It's about more than ministry. It's about more than serving on a team together. We are partnered with Jesus Christ. He's chosen each one of us. If you are a follower of Christ, He's chosen you to make a difference. If you're not yet a follower of Christ, He's still chosen you to make a difference, and your first step is to begin to follow Him. And in doing so, you're going to begin to empower other people as well. Empower simply means to make each other stronger, make each other better. And we do that for one another when we serve together. We want to strengthen one another. Remember, that's one of the things that Paul said the gifts of the Spirit are for, is to strengthen one another. We're a people of purpose, and we're working together on purpose. And the purpose is not shaking a hand. The purpose is not pouring some coffee. The purpose is not fixing up something that's broken. The purpose is not cleaning up a spill. The purpose is not only rocking a baby. Now, you might get upset with the rich. Oh, Pastor, I know my purpose in life is to rock these babies. Listen, rock the babies, rock the babies, rock the babies. But rocking the baby is not your purpose. Your purpose is giving mommy and daddy an opportunity to draw close to Jesus. Those babies will feel your love. Those babies will feel the love. It's more than rocking babies. It's more than anything we do. It's opening the doors of people's hearts to come to know Jesus. And we work together at this on purpose. And we make our team stronger when we show up on time. I thought I'd just leave that hanging out there for a little bit. It's kind of, I'm going to take a drink of water. What did I say? What did I say? We make our team stronger when we show up on time. I'm just going to take a little drink of water and let that sink into it. You know, what's awesome is when we come together and we serve together, it's awesome to get here early enough so that we can meet together as a team, pray together with our team, share our needs, pray for their needs. It brings unity. Find out what the play for the day is, because sometimes things change when we come here. Find out what the play for the day is and then run that play. Make prayer the foundation of every ministry and the foundation of your relationships with one another. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. It's Jesus we're proclaiming through everything we do. There are no big jobs and there are no small jobs. There are no big ministries and small ministries. No big gifts and small gifts. None more important to the other when we realize that every gift that we are using is opening the door to bring people to Jesus. And then we celebrate the wins. That's testimonies. That's sharing what happened to you, celebrating and rejoicing when you hear what God is doing in your lives. When we post good news, again, if you're on social media, we post good news, share it, like it, retweet it, repost it. And the biggest win of all is when people give their lives to Jesus. That's the ultimate win. That's the ultimate victory. That's why each person does what they do. That's why the setup people get here early and set up tables and chairs in rooms for small groups and services and activities and events. That's why the maintenance people are working hard to make sure that everything is operating smoothly. That's why the custodial people are making sure the facilities are as clean as they can be when you walk in the door. That's why the admin team is working through the week helping in the office. That's why the pastoral care team does what they do. That's why small group leaders do what they do. And look at Luke chapter 15, verse 10. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. That is the most misunderstood, mistaught, taught in error verse in all the Bible. I think I have heard people teach that verse wrong more than I have heard them teach any verse. How many have heard, oh, all the angels in heaven rejoice whenever a soul's saved? No, they don't. I got you listening to me now, don't I? All the angels, no, read it carefully. There is rejoicing in the presence. Oh, this is good. This is good. It's better than what you thought it was. Rejoicing in the presence of God's angels. Ooh, this gets me excited. Because it ain't the angels rejoicing. But whose presence are the angels in? Who is in the presence of the angels? God Almighty Himself. That's why another prophet said, He will rejoice over you with singing. Our mighty God will rejoice over you with singing. And you study that particular Hebrew word for rejoice, it means to get up off your seat and spin around in a circle. When one sinner gets saved, I don't doubt that when God starts getting happy and excited and rejoicing, I don't doubt that the angels join in. But don't you dare limit it to just the angels. All the angels in heaven above rejoice whenever the soul's saved. So maybe it's not incorrect, but it is certainly incomplete. Because God Almighty Himself, a whole lot bigger and better than all of the angels combined, He's the one that's rejoicing. And folks, that means it's worth celebrating when people come to know God. And it's worth finding out what our gifts are and applying ourselves to those gifts and not believing that anyone is grandiose and not believing that anyone is menial, but believing that every gift is ultimate. So when people get saved, then every person rejoices. It's not about the gift that I've used. It's not just about the gift the worship team used. It's about the gift the coffee team has used and the maintenance team has used and the custodial team has used and the hospitality team has used. Every team can rejoice. Every person. So see, get involved in finding out what your gift is. Get on a team. Begin to serve. Begin to minister, because then you get some of the joy and blessing for people who come to know the Lord. We want to celebrate that. And when you serve, I want you to realize each person is an individual. Each number is a somebody. We don't get caught up in the number. We may report the number as part of the celebration, but we get caught up in the person. Every person has a story. You have a story. Think of what brought you here. Have you brought somebody else? If somebody did the favor of bringing you in, bringing you to the Lord, shouldn't you do somebody else the favor? Have you done that? What are you passionate about? When you serve, you'll begin to see people in a new way. You won't just be passing people in the lobby on your way to the worship center. You'll begin to see each one as souls that Jesus Christ died for. You'll be looking for ways to make a difference in people's lives. You'll get to know their name. You'll be making a difference. You will see them as Christ sees them. It's all about moving people one step closer to Christ. And when we get people to step four of our growth track, we want to orient people to a ministry that corresponds with their gifting. Oh, you got this gift? Well, that gift would work very well here, and you might find joy doing this. You can get started doing what God has called you and gifted you to do. In other words, fulfilling the purpose for which He created you and put you on this earth. So come, Find out about our leadership commitments. Find out about our honor codes that we have for servants and leaders. It only takes faith to be a follower of Jesus. It only takes faith to be a follower of Jesus. No other requirements. But when you step into a place of ministry and influence, people are going to follow you. In other words, their lifestyle will follow your lifestyle. Their choices will follow your choices. This is why we ask our Dream Team members to agree to something that we refer to as an honor code. And so some people have to then ask themselves, is hanging on to something I'm hanging on to more important than serving Christ and influencing others to follow Him? That may be a step of growth for you as you step into ministry, and we want you to grow as well. The first step is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Get water baptized if you're not. It's the first step of obedience to Christ. This is where we want to get people. And we have to get there first if we're not there. I want to share a video with you as we close. And this video was given to me by our Upward team because it's time for us to start thinking about Upward. But as I looked at this video this week, I thought, you know, this is not just about Upward. This is about every spiritual gift, every gifted person finding their place on a ministry team to make a difference in other people's lives. So take a moment to watch this video, and here's someone who's found out how they can make a difference. How is it? What team? Whether it be Upward or whether it be one of the other many teams we've talked about, how is it that you can best find a way to make a difference in other people's lives?
You know why you're here, Josh?
Yes, sir. Because I got mad.
And what else?
I punched a player on the other team.
Josh, I don't think I can keep you on the team.
Coach, please, you can't kick me off. I'm a starter.
Doesn't matter, Josh. What you did was wrong.
But the team needs me.
Well, you should have thought about that before you lost your temper.
Coach, please, do anything.
Run 10 miles.
What?
Run 10 miles.
10?
That's 40 laps. 40 laps is your punishment. And the only way you're going to get your spot back on the team. You run the laps, I'll give you your jersey back.
That's one. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Come on, you got this. Don't quit.
Let's go.
Sorry. I can't run anymore.
Run the rest for you.
What?
Keep track.
A little bit more.
Come on, coach. Let's go. Why did you run my laps?
Josh, I ran your laps for you because a long time ago, someone stepped in for me.
Every single person since.
Everyone? Even pastors? Even you?
Definitely me, yes, and even pastors. Because you see, we can't do anything on our own to solve our sin problem. And the penalty for sin is eternal separation from God. We can't save ourselves, Josh, just like you couldn't run those laps for yourself. Nobody's perfect. But you know how I said someone stepped in for me?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible also tells us that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's like He ran those laps for me, so I could have a relationship with God and live the life that He has planned for me.
I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to save myself. I want to trust in Jesus.
And tell Him.
Let's bow our heads together. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're at a place where you're ready to trust in Jesus. Maybe you've never followed Him before. Maybe you made a commitment years ago. Maybe you've just been skirting around the edges. But you need to make a commitment to follow Jesus today. I just want to lead you in a prayer. You can pray this prayer right where you sit, just as this young man was getting ready to do in this video, in this portrayal. Just right now, if you need to follow Jesus, you need to make a commitment You want to know God intimately and personally. Just right where you're sitting, pray a prayer like this with me. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came. You died on the cross for me. I admit that I have sinned and I've been separate from you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Give me your spirit and change me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.